Are these okay?
Yep. Go ahead.
Thank you. So I just, who knows what I'm gonna do here, but let's just, let me get some of this water because my throat is. Oh, praise God, praise God. God gave me a special word for you guys tonight, and I believe there's a reason for that, because I believe God is concerned. God is interested. God is interested in my brother, my sister, my brother, my sister, my brother, sister, sister, brother, brother. God is interested. You know what I'm saying? He's taken time out of his schedule to prepare something for our gathering. And we say he's such a big God and he has so much on his plate. If he's dealing with, you know, all the horrible things that happened in Poland and on, and just all the things that are going on in our world, what we've been seeing, and God loves all, but God, he is equipping his people for such a time as we're experiencing right now. You know, he has a plan for us in the most extreme and difficult circumstances that we see. We are disappointed with many of the things in our world, but God is saying, my people were put on this earth to bring about change. The people of God in this room were put about to transform cities, states, nations, right here in this room. You believe that?
Yes.
And so God is interested and he's concerned about each of us right here. And he has a word for each of us tonight. He has something special prepared for each of us. And so I encourage you to open up your heart, open up your mind, as I begin to share a little bit of, I'm going to share all that I have. This is a brief scripture. Thank you so much. I was going to ask for that, but I didn't want to get too greedy here. I've been asking for everything. Thank you. Okay. And I'm going to be reading from John 12, 24 through 26. And actually, if someone could grab that for me. John 12, Gospel of John, 12th chapter, 24th verse, 26th verse. If there's a good loud reader that could read that for me. And we're going to have a brief discussion, very familiar passage of Scripture. But it was the Scripture that the Holy Spirit put in my heart. John 12, 12th chapter, 24th verse. And I want to share that. And before we even read that, I'm going to just ask God to bless the Word. Father, we thank you. The Holy Spirit is the minister. The Word belongs to you. So if the Holy Spirit is the minister and the Word is your Word, then what am I? I'm just an instrument. I'm merely a vessel. Now, God, I don't want to stand in the way of what you have to say to your people. I don't want to be the barrier. I don't want to be the impediment tonight. But, God, I want to be the conduit. Flow through me, speak to me, and speak to your people. The glory and the credit is yours. Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys see the challenge, huh? Okay, 12, anyone have that? Who's a good reader here? And you're going to be a good reader whether you are or not, just you can go for it. So could someone read those two verses for me? Okay, that would be a no.
I'll do it. Sure. I usually have to.
You usually have to? Your Bible's smaller than mine.
No, that's your Bible.
All right, 12:24. Okay. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor.
Amen. Thank you. Now this passage of Scripture, has everyone heard this Scripture before?
Yes.
Okay, very familiar. This passage of Scripture, you know, we could, many scholars would say that what Jesus was preparing them for was his death, his burial, and then his resurrection, and that in his dying that what he accomplished on the earth when he was physically here was a fraction. There's a scripture that says that, you know, that the works that he did will we do also. And the Bible said greater works would we do because he went into the Father. So in his death, there was this phenomenal explosion of capability. There was this phenomenal explosion of power that was issued to the people in this room. Did you receive your mail? Did you receive your package of power? Have you received your endowment? Have you received your authority? You see, this was matter of fact. This took place. Now, did the other take place? Did we receive what we were supposed to receive from when he fulfilled this great event? And so tonight we're going to talk about this whole notion of a seed. Now, the Holy Spirit led me down this passage because essentially, you know, it says that the servant is not greater than the master. And then you see this passage of Scripture, it says that anyone who follows me. Now, if we break that down, basically saying the path that he walked, we walk. Follow me. You see, so to follow someone is to follow them, to be behind them, to go where they go. And so he was that seed. He was that seed that was in his death. He was to multiply. He was to create all this additional life for us. And tonight I want to talk to you guys about us being a seed. That we are a seed. We are a seed that belongs to the Father, just as Jesus was. He was a seed that came from the Father. We are a seed. Once we became Christians, once we gave our life to Christ, we became seeds of the Father. Now we must fulfill the rest of the passage. You see, and just as you read, I'll try to find it. But, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It abides alone. So you get what you get. You have, if we just had a grain and we never did anything with that grain, we would only have the grain. If we took the grain, put the grain in the ground, and went through the whole process of thank you. You know, we would have something for more than ourselves, something for our family, something for our neighborhood, something for our city, something for our state, something for our country, something for our world. See, there is an edict, there is a demand, there is, in this passage of Scripture, there is a demand placed upon us. Because he said, those who, if any man serve me, let him follow me. If any man serve me, let him follow me. How many of us serve him? Okay. How many of us have broken arms? No. And so there's a demand. So let's talk about this for a second. And I'm not going to be too long. Every time I say that, I'm like 12 hours. So just remember I said that. So if we look at the players in this passage, and excuse that terminology, but the players, if you look at like a play or something, you know, who were all the key players and actors, okay? So we have the person that's planting. There's a person that's done some planting or does planting. Who would that be?
Father.
Huh? Well, in this passage of Scripture, it would be the Father, right? So it would be the Father that's the planter. We have the seed. The seed, we've realized, is going to be us. And then there's this other thing called the soil. We've got to figure out what that is. What is the soil? If we have the Father who's the planter, we have the seed that is us, where is the soil? And then there's this whole thing about what takes place. Okay, there's a death. There's a burial. So I want to talk about a couple things. I want to talk about, you know, the specific expectations relative to us being this seed and us being birthed into something greater than what we are right now. And it's a change. It's a transformation. It's us willingly going through this process. Well, let me share some key facts with you. Okay, so number one, we've got the Father. So what's the Father's role? The Father, he has a role in creating the seed. The The seed was created not by itself, but was created by the Father. You weren't created by yourself. The Father created you. When you gave your life to Jesus, you became his seed. Okay? Now, the one thing about a creator, any inventors in this room? Inventors. Okay, we got one. When you invent something, do you invent with a purpose? Does the thing that you invent have a specific thing that it does? Right? So you invent something, it performs something. It has a capability. Right? Every seed that God created had intent, had purpose, had something that it was to fulfill. Every one of us.
Even Jesus said you must be born again to see the kingdom of God.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And so every one of us, there's a purpose. There is an expectation of each of us. And that's pressure, right? I mean, that's pressure. Because God's saying, I intended something to come from your life. I intended there to be outcomes. I intended there to be results. I intended there to be fruit. We see in the Bible, refers to it as fruit. You see, and will you bear fruit or won't you bear fruit? Okay? So God intended, he created the seed. He intended the seed to have a purpose. All seeds don't necessarily produce the same thing. Okay? So each of us has been uniquely created by the Father. The other thing is that the Father has also determined and created the process that guides the life and death. The whole life cycle of the seed has been created and defined by the Father, if you understand what I'm saying. In other words, you plant the seed in the ground, you have germination, you have all these other things taking place, and something comes up. The Father has defined the rules and around that process. So the Father has done this as well.
I'm going somewhere.
And the other thing is, it's that the Father has already predetermined and authorized the outcome of the individual seed. So if I'm the seed, he created me, he created the soil, he created the process of life and death for the life cycle of the seed, and then he determined what outcomes were authorized and acceptable by him. Okay, you guys get that? You didn't get all that? I'll try one more time. Huh? Once more, okay. So the Father created the seed, which is us. He also created the soil where the seed goes and planted into the dirt, right? He created the life cycle. What I'm saying by the life cycle is that seed, all of a sudden, you put it in the ground and something happens. It dies and they start to stem. Stems start to develop. Who did that? Who created that process? God the Father did. And he's also determined what particular fruit or what the result would be from the seed coming, sprouting up, and what it produced. He determines what is authorized and acceptable. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get real deep, but I gotta lay a foundation. Okay? All right. So that's one. Now, so that's what the Father's role is. Now, we're the seed, right? We determine that. So here's the seed. Here we go. The seed can choose to be purpose aware. Now, what I'm saying by that, in other words, the seed can be said, well, I was created by God with intent. So you can take all what I just told you and say, that's just the game. Those are the rules of the game. God said, he created me. He created the soil he's going to plant me in. He's created the life cycle in which I will live. And he's created what fruit comes out of my life. Now you can say, as a seed, I'm just going to be aware of my purpose by my creator and be content with that. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So, and at that point we can comply with the creator's intent. And thereby we yield a harvest consistent with our creator's expectations and desires. That makes sense? So the seed can choose to be purpose aware, realizing that God has purposed something in my life, and I'm going to go with that. I'm going to work in the soil he puts me in. I'm going to let the life cycle produce the harvest that he expects, and the fruit that I bear will be exactly the fruit that's consistent with what he wants. That's one option for the seed. Listen to this one. The other thing is the seed can, and this is where I've been in my life. You guys may not, but I have. The seed can choose to rebel and fight against the Creator's intent. This is an inherent thing. God put things inside of us when he created us. And if we would just let those things go, the result would come forth. You guys hearing that? So we can, but the other thing we can do, we can choose to rebel and fight against what the Father created, what he created us to do. We can say, as a seed, I rebel against you, Father. And basically that would be that we're rebelling against the design that he put in us. We thereby cut off the harvest. We thereby alter the outcome because we've decided not to go that route. And so our whole ability to produce what is natural from God's perspective is all changed because we've rebelled. Additionally, what we do produce, if we produce anything, is unnatural, and it's an aberration. It's something weird. It's an aberration, you know, of the Creator's intent, and it's also unacceptable unto him. Now, we're talking about seed tonight. And we're talking about, so we talked about the Creator. His job's pretty easy. Now, our job as a seed, we know he created with intent. We can say, I'll go with that, or we can then say, no, I'm not going to go there. So then, and so maybe we'll get to the seed's reality in just a second. So then now we're going to talk about the soil for just a second. Again, I'm laying a foundation. The purpose of the soil, it possesses the atmosphere and the environment necessary for the seed's life cycle. In other words, for the seed to produce anything, it has to have an environment and atmosphere. The soil that God created is that atmosphere. It also provides the birth canal for women who had to, you know what that means, for the seed's harvest. Additionally, it is negatively affected and slowly altered by these aberrations. By when we decide to go against God's plan, we change the soil because we turn what was naturally God's outcome into something that's now strange. And so the soil gets contaminated as we rebel, okay? So some of our realities I'm going to share with you. Here's the realities of being a seed. The Creator made you with capabilities that aren't apparently visible or observable. So in other words, God made us with capabilities. But a lot of times we're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where I belong. What should I do with my life? Where am I gifted? What does God want me to do? So it's not always visible because we're in seed form, guys. The reason why that's like that is because you're still in seed form. Now again, earlier when we read the scripture, we said, unless a seed goes where? Into the earth, and then what happens?
Dies.
Then it's just going to be in this form that's not really exciting. And a lot of us are looking at our lives saying, my life's not real exciting! Because you're still in the seed form. You see, so the life cycle is very clear. If we're still in the seed form and we're still saying, it's not thrilling for me right now. I don't feel like I've done a whole lot. I don't feel like I've been able to achieve a whole lot. I don't believe I've moved a whole lot relative to what God called me to do. And I'm feeling kind of ineffective. It's because we're in the seed form. You see, so you know what has to happen next. Okay? The other reality is your Creator knows the perfect soils and conditions for maximum performance and the greatest harvest. He knows the perfect soil and conditions. Just like we don't, there's certain plants, tropical plants, that you cannot grow in certain areas. God knows what type of seed we each are, and he knows the best soil for us to produce the greatest harvest. These are our realities. The seed doesn't know it, but the creator knows it. The planter of the seed knows it. So another reality, which is very painful for us, is that, you know, we, so being the seed, we must lay there in the soil in less than perfect conditions, in our opinion. An unknown soil. The soil is unknown, and we're laying here. It wasn't our first choice. I wouldn't have picked this, God. For an unreasonably long period of time, it seems like nothing's happened, or things are getting worse while I sit here in this bad soil with these bad conditions for a long period of time, and nothing's happening. Now, we're the seed, and this is what we, you guys, you know, maybe you've heard this before. Maybe you've said it, I've said it. And finally, there's nothing that I can do about it. This is a real exciting time for the seed. It's a thriller. Turn some music on, you know, elevator music. So the seed is there saying, and we're saying, why can't we fix something? Why can't we do something? You got me here, Lord, in this soil. You got me under these harsh conditions, and I've been here forever, and nothing's happening. These are the realities of being a seed. So, you can take control. Here's another option. You can take yourself out of the soil. You can take, and we've probably done it, right? We can take ourselves out of the soil, locate our first choice. Yeah. Where's my first choice soil? Where's my first choice conditions? And then where's the shortest possible time frame to get me through this thing? That's what I elect. How many of us say, I'll go for that? Now again, we're living our lives right now as a seed. We're sitting here thinking, we're just seed, and God trying to do all this stuff with us, and we're like saying, this ain't happening. This is not good. There's nothing going on here. So we could do this. We could locate the first choice and say, this is much better soil, much better conditions, in our opinion. Okay? And the wait isn't long at all. Quick in, quick out. Perfect. Sounding good so far. You know, and the results are more in line with what we are most comfortable. In other words, it wasn't a big change. I mean, I went and did something, and in the end, when the result came out, I was like, this is comfortable. I'm used to that. I kind of wanted that all along. And so this is the other option for the seed. Now, the horrible thing that's missed here, we just say, hey, that's perfect. The horrible thing is that we now have this outcome or this harvest that God is saying unacceptable. Unacceptable. Adam had two sons. You guys know their names? And they each made a sacrifice. One of them was acceptable. One of them, no, not. And in the end, what happened?
Jealous.
And then what?
Killed.
And then what? Murder. So when you think you want to jump out of the soil, when you think you want to leave the soil that's unfamiliar to you, and you think you want better conditions that are more in line with your thinking presently, and when you think you want a shorter wait for this whole transformation process to take place,
You have to understand, God knows what's best. You see, with Adam's two sons, it's a perfect example. One of them said, I don't have to do it that way. One of them knew the heart of God. One of them knew what made God's heart joyous. And the other one said, this is good enough. And in the end, we had a murder. So as seed, when we find ourselves placed in soil that God picked, and you wouldn't have picked, I'm going to trust me, and look, I would have told God, had he told me some of the things I was going to go through, if he'd told me that up front, you guys never would have met me. Is it just me?
No.
Had you known what you were going to have to endure? Had you known how long it was going to take? Had you known the conditions under which you would have to live for a period of time in order for God to produce this harvest in your life? If you knew how much it cost, I mean, I would have just said, God, you know, my brother, he's more motivated than I am. Anybody but me. But in the end, God knows what's best. Now let me say this. Very, 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 very candid statement. We're not where we're supposed to be because we're not where we were placed. Now, I'll try that again, and then I'm going to explain it. We're not where we're supposed to be spiritually in God's kingdom and in the work that he's called us to do. We're not where we're supposed to be because we're not where he placed us. I'm not telling you to leave the church. No, this is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have adjusted ourselves to make ourselves more comfortable and to not confront things that God put us straight in front of, right in the face of things that he wants us to confront, and we have dodged them and said, whew, that was close. I almost had to deal with that. And so we are not where we're supposed to be because we are not where he put us. You see, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to take longer than I want and you want. The conditions outside are not going to be ideal. But let me just tell you, it's where God wants you. And it's the only way that the fruit that he's authorized to come from your lives is going to come. It's not going to come any other way. I mean, Jesus in the garden said, if there's another way for this thing to happen, if you can get me out of this, God, I'm open. In other words, if I can bypass having to get on this cross, I'll opt out if there's another way. But if there's no other way, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, Jesus questioned the soil, the condition, and what he was going to have to face. So you don't beat yourself up because you have those thoughts, because I have them every moment. I'm just joking. I'm down to 5 minutes now. Okay. I mean, because you're like, boy, this is a lot to endure. But if you don't endure it, think of Adam's sons. Two sons. Both had equal opportunity. One did a shortcut, one did the full run. Now, you know, you read the story and you say, well, one died too, Kelvin. Yes, yes. But the fruit that came from even his death was far more than anything his brother would have ever done. You guys getting this message here? You see, we're not where we're supposed to be. You're not doing everything you're supposed to do. You're not operating in all the authority and power that God wants you to operate in because, you know, we've kind of adjusted ourselves. That's uncomfortable. Let me just make one minor adjustment. look at we look at the soil that God put us in as the enemy. We rebuke the conditions that he set upon us. Because he knows what it means to shape us, to equip us, to prepare us, to make us instruments of his power and his glory. We've got to be demonstrators of great faith and great power. We can't just be Christians because we carry a Bible on our hip and walk a certain way. Most of us walking with a limp. Okay? We can't be just that. We've got to bring real, tangible power, real change to this world. People are dying even in this, right as we're sitting here talking. People are dying and they're missing out for an eternity. There's no way to get them back. And meanwhile, we're still bucking God, saying, oh no, that's too hard. It's too hard, God, trust me. For the last year and a half, I've been screaming and crying, kicking. I haven't jumped out of the frying pan, okay, but I've wanted to. And there's tremendous adversity upon me right now. There's a tremendous pressure upon me, and it's uncomfortable. And I tell God every now and then, you've lost your mind. Why so much? But I stay there. I don't want to, but I do. And we think that we need to pray and get delivered. And God's saying, no, stay and wait. Wait on me. Unless a seed is placed in the soil, and not the wrong soil, but the right soil. God called me to be here. And then when I got here, tremendous adversity, unthinkable adversity has come upon me, which has caused me to say, I got to get out of here. And God said, stay, son. But God, how long is it going to be? The bell's already gone off. Take the bread out of the oven. You guys will get that one, okay? And yet, God says, stay, wait. Which son are you going to be, Kelvin? Which son of Adam are you going to be? Let me ask you guys, which one are you going to be? What are you going to do? You going to shortcut? Easy route? Quick in, quick out? Better circumstances? Better soil? Better conditions? Shorter wait? Hey, that line's short. My brother Todd and I were looking for a restaurant by Park Slope area, whatever area that is. And we were looking at some of the restaurants and was like, boy, that's empty. I don't know if that's a good sign. There's no one in the restaurant. We'll get quick service, but, you know, do you want it? Maybe the long line is better. Maybe the long wait is better. God knows what's best. Tonight, I want to tell you guys, God sent me here with purpose. The purpose is to put this word on the inside of you. The purpose is for you guys to receive this word. The purpose is for you to take this word inside of you and change the way tomorrow looks. Change the way next week looks. To let an explosion take place on the inside, that there can be this manifestation of his power on the outside. That people will begin to talk about those things that they can't explain that are happening in your life. Because you've allowed yourself to be immersed in soil that was horrible and to stay in extreme and unusual conditions for an unusual amount of time. So that there could be something birthed through you that could not be birthed any other way. There is no other way, Jesus. Father, if it be possible, let this cup, you know, go somewhere else. That was Jesus' prayer. But in the end, he said, not my will, thy will. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? God sent me here to speak and release change in your life. He gave me this message. I didn't come up with this. He put this in me. And he said, this is what you deliver. Here's the package. You deliver it. You see, where you stand, I don't know what financial pressure and what relational pressures, I don't know what's up on your life right now, but I know the Spirit of God has told me that He's going to bring you out. You're going to be more powerful and go further than you ever would have gone in your entire life, but you've got to let the process work. You've got to trust Him that He's not going to let the devil rip you to shreds, destroy your life. I've had a multi-million dollar business get ripped into shreds, and right now there's a very faint pulse. And I want to just say, God, I'm proclaiming it dead and shutting it down. And He says, hang on. Lazarus is not dead. He's just sleeping, Kelvin. That's what He said. He said, son, you don't even know what I'm about to do. So just gag. Shut up. You see? Look, I'm telling you, He's bringing change. And He's bringing it, not you. It's not going to be those charismatic words that you might say that have been effective in the past. God's going to bring something through your life that's going to cause an explosion. There's going to be this cloud that looks like a nuclear bomb. And it's going to move up on your neighborhood. It's going to move up on your city. It's going to move up on the state. It's going to move up on this country. It's coming. This is why we're losing faith in politics. This is why we're losing faith in the financial markets. This is why we're losing faith in employers. This is why we're losing faith in them, because God says He's going to put your faith in the right place so that you see the fruit that He meant you for you to have all along.
Yes.
It's coming. But don't jump out of that burning, hot, uncomfortable situation. You stay right there with your head down and just say, just as Esther said. You know what Esther said? If I perish, I perish. But I will see that king. Look, you stay there. You tell the devil, you tell your flesh, you tell everything in you that wants to be comfortable. Look, if we perish, we're perished, but we're going to get this thing done. There's people waiting on us to be birthed. There are people waiting for this explosion to take place. People are waiting. They're dying. They're waiting for someone's hand to reach down and pull them up. And meanwhile, we're fighting off circumstances, saying, oh no, running in the other direction. And God said, stop. It's me. It's not the devil. It's me. My final words for this message. The greatest harvest is produced under the worst conditions. With the seed, listen to this, with the seed being in its weakest and most vulnerable state, without the ability to defend itself. Did you guys hear that? The greatest harvest is produced under the worst circumstances, with the seed being in its weakest state and most vulnerable place, without the ability to defend itself. We're busy trying to defend ourselves. We're busy trying to stand up for ourselves. And we're fighting God. We're fighting the Creator. We're fighting the one who says that all things work together for our good. We're fighting that. Saying, well, I don't want all things. I want the things that I want. We're fighting that. Tonight, let's stop fighting. Tonight, let's stop pushing back. Because, see, there's little to no harvest that is produced when a seed fights, listen to this, for its own rights. There's little to no harvest when a seed says, hey, I will arise and defend myself. I will take back. You see? When the seed starts to fight for its rights and demands fairness, it's not fair, God. But you see, you're His child. You're His seed. He's had His eye on you before He created this world and the worlds. He had His eye, He had His mind on you before everything else started. And He said, I am birthing you. Look, folks, I'm not here by accident. I'm not here in this night, on this day, and you're not here by accident. I know what message God put in my spirit. I'm giving it to you. And he told me who was going to be here. And you're here. This message is custom for you. This is custom for you. God picked this for you guys right now. This is not my doing. So tonight, as I pray, I'm going to pray in a second here. We got to stop striving for this optimal condition that we think we deserve as Christians. I don't think you're envisioning Jesus on the cross. I don't think you're envisioning when they ripped his skin off of his back. That's optimal. I don't think we're envisioning when the scripture says that he was not even recognizable. His face, nothing. You couldn't tell who he was. He was brutalized. Those are optimal conditions. Now the good news is, in the passage that my sister read, it says that if you're going to serve me, follow me. I'm sorry to throw that out there like that. But we're so busy trying to be comfortable, and we don't realize that if you want to save a life, you're going to have to give a life. The life that you're going to have to give to save another life is your own. There's no saving of any life without giving first your life. That's how it works. See, there's no redemption of sin without the shedding of blood. The blood that's going to be shed is our blood. God wants us to lay our lives down. He wants us to be the seed that knows that the purpose is already inside. All we have to do is get in the soil and let his process for life and death, let that process work on us. You see, we're not responsible for producing the harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest. We're trying to produce our own harvest, control the whole process. We're not God. He is. Jesus didn't do it that way. So why are we? So tonight, we're going to have a prayer of change. Now, if you're uncomfortable with that, you probably should just, I won't look. I'll close my eyes for 5 seconds. Just run really fast. And we won't remember who you were until 10 minutes ago. So we're going to have a prayer of change. I need to rededicate. I need to say, God, look, I'm fighting you. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts, guys. We're too busy saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's true. There goes my car. It's my strength. Oh, they just took my house. The joy of the Lord. My bank account. The joy of the Lord. I'm sorry to look so crazy up here. But I'm giving you truth. Look, the reality is that it's not easy. The reality is that it's hard. Yeah. The reality is that, it says count up the costs. Why count the cost? It's expensive. Another passage of scripture says pick up your cross. And we think we're going to the state fair with that cross. Oh, I can't wait to ride the rides. No, that's not what the cross means. The cross is about, what is the cross about? Torture, death. You see? So we're the seed. God has already picked the soil. He's picked these horrible conditions that you and I both hate. And he knows how long he's going to keep us there to produce the outcome. Do you want to see the end result or not? You do? I do too. It hurts though. So prepare yourself for the pain. Prepare yourself to endure. If I know someone's going to punch me in the jaw, I'm going to like, okay, well, I'm going to give you one shot. So here we go. Versus a sucker punch. Prepare yourself. And just say, I'm not going to give up because God's going to be faithful. He's going to be good to you. He's going you beyond your comprehension. But before all that, you're going to endure something. You're going to have to endure something. You know, if you suffer with him, you're going to reign with him. You see, escaping suffering is not the plan. It wasn't the plan of Jesus, and it can't be our plan. Tonight I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to do that just right now. So if you just kind of bow your head, and we're just going to ask God to do a new thing. Father, tonight, thank you for the word. Thank you for truth. Thank you for not taking it easy on us with the word. Thank you for making it plain. Thank you for being candid, Holy Spirit. Thank you for putting it right in our faces. Thank you, Lord, for pointing out how we've tried to find an escape hatch. We've tried to find a way out. It hurts. We just want it to stop sometimes. We just want to break sometimes. But God, we know your heart is good. We know that what you allowed your son to go through, even though it was unthinkable as far as the level of brutality, the result is our lives. The fruit of what he went through is a joy to not only him, but all of us. And so God, help us prepare ourselves to fight the good fight. Help us prepare ourselves to be placed in this soil and to deal with these conditions and to stay there until you're done. Tonight, I just pray, God, that you would just lay hands, oh Father, lay your hand on each person in this room right now in the name of Jesus, God. Just touch every person. Touch every person in this room. I pray right now, Father, begin to stir things that only you can stir. Begin to release power and authority, God, that comes from you, not from man. Oh, God, open eyes, blinded eyes tonight. Open ears that people can hear, that we can hear your word, we can hear your spirit. God, we don't want to be the same. We need a change, God. Move us tonight, oh, God. We surrender all. We lay our lives down in this moment. God, let this word take root in our hearts. Let it not depart from us. We give you glory. We give you the praise. Oh, God, we know the end is good. We know you'll bring us to a good place. You'll bring us to a promised land. And we'll enjoy the fat of the land, God, the goodness of all things. But, God, we want to endure it. So help us tonight. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name.
If there's anyone that would like individual prayer, I can do that. If you have anything that you need prayer for tonight, before I sit down, I'll be happy to pray for you. Other